Now to the train that bore that casket on the president's final journey home to Springfield, Illinois. It left Washington on this day 150 years ago, about a week after the president had been assassinated and with the Civil War just ended. At stops along the way, the coffin was brought out for public viewing. Spectators crowded the streets of Baltimore, Buffalo, Cleveland, Indianapolis. Today we're starting a series retracing that route, starting with Scott Trosel, author of the book The Lincoln Funeral Train. Scott, welcome.
Thank you.
And this was a train, some have said it was kind of like the Air Force One of its day, but it was a train that was built especially for the president, and we understand he never got to see it?
That's correct. It was a specially built private car for presidential use, and the first ride that Abraham Lincoln was to have taken was on the morning of his death, April the 15th of 1865. Mm.
Well, so he does take the ride home in it, though. His coffin does. What was that like as the train left the Capitol?
Nobody knew for sure what it was going to be like because there were still 300,000 Confederate troops who didn't know that the South had surrendered and the war was over. There were still guerrilla groups fighting. There was a lot of opposition to Lincoln because Washington, D.C. was south of the Mason-Dixon line. Mm-hmm. So they had no idea. They just knew that they needed to allow the nation to mourn the loss of the first president assassinated in office. And this is the man who gives us the Emancipation Proclamation and makes other provisions to maintain the integrity of the Union.
Well, as you say, though, people weren't sure what would happen along the way. How did people respond?
At Baltimore, they came into town. It was raining. They had no idea that the streets were absolutely packed with throngs of people. Rooftops were filled with people. Windows were filled with people. It took about three times as long to get through the streets of Baltimore with the funeral procession as they had anticipated. And he was going to lay in state in a public building called the Exchange in downtown Baltimore until about mid-afternoon. By the time they got there, he laid in state less than 2 hours. And then they had to resume the journey north towards Harrisburg. After the train left, the people didn't stop coming to the Exchange. They came that afternoon, that evening, all night, the next day, the next week. They came almost for a full 30 days to see the place where the president's coffin had lain.
No, not even the coffin, just the place where it had been.
Just the place where it had been.
Yeah. Well, and keep traveling with us. Philadelphia, you say crowds 12 abreast lined up. 12 million people along the route. People came out along the way, along the train route, even as the train sped by.
Oh, yes. People stood on crossings. They knelt and they prayed or they sang. And the train had orders that when they passed a large crowd or went through a city or a village, that they were to reduce the speed of the train to 5 miles an hour. But people did not hesitate to come out and express their feelings of sorrow.
It sounds like this became not just a trip. It was a rite of passage. It was like a knitting needle, you know, darning the country together as it traveled across.
And that's exactly what it did. At one point, they spent about 14, 15 hours on the train traveling from Albany, New York to Buffalo across the water level route. People lit bonfires along the entire route. And as I read about why some of these people did it, it became obvious that they were looking to light the way so that Lincoln would not be going into an eternal night.
Oh, what an image.
Just beyond words, when you sit and you read all of these stories that have been woven together on how they received the man in death who had saved the country and given his life.
Yeah. Scott Trosel, he wrote The Lincoln Funeral Train, The Final Journey, A National Funeral for Abraham Lincoln. Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, as we said, for the next couple of weeks, Here and Now we'll retrace the path of the Lincoln train. Our Peter O'Dowd has this special assignment. And Peter, we just want to check in with you for a second. Where are you now? Where will you go?
Right now, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm going to be tracking over the next couple of days about 500 miles of the trip. So I'll spend a few days in Cleveland looking at modern-day race relations in the wake of Lincoln. As we know, that was an issue that was very important to the country during the Civil War, and as we well know now, is still very important in places like Cleveland, also in Indianapolis, where I'll be headed, and also Springfield, Illinois, the hometown of the president.
Can't wait to hear that reporting. And Peter, just briefly, what are some of your other stops?
Well, I'm going to make a short stop in Columbus on my way to Indianapolis. I'm going to stop in a barbershop there. Barbershops, great places to have conversations about just about anything in this country. And then in Decatur, Illinois, I'm going to stop at the Lincoln Lounge in the heart there of Lincoln Country once you cross the border from Indiana into Illinois.
Peter, can't wait. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.